Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to At The Movies with me, Umar Paganampake Pagan. Steven Spielberg's latest effort is a hark back to his early days of directing and producing great children's movies. You know, the likes of The Goonies and Hook. It is an adaptation of Roald Dahl's much-beloved classic, The BFG. Joining me today to review the film is fellow film enthusiast Ian McNally. Ian, you and I both grew up reading Roald Dahl.
Not even that. I grew up with Roald Dahl read to me when I was very young.
I did as well. Yeah.
Going to bed at night with the Twits being read to me and not having nightmares, but giggling into my sleep.
That's right. I think I had Matilda read to me. And, you know, I would spend hours in school trying to make things move with my mind.
I think I had the Twits read to me because it's a lot shorter.
It is. So the BFG is out in cinemas this week. It's about a month on from when it was released in the United States.
Yep.
It's directed by Steven Spielberg. It's been a long time since he's done a kids movie like this. Mm. It used to be his bread and butter for a while. And it stars Mark Rylance as the BFG, yep. Or Academy Award winner Mark Rylance as the BFG, and Ruby Barnhill as Sophie, the little girl, who gets kidnapped, shall we say?
Yep.
By the big friendly giant. What did you think? Was it true to your memories of the book?
As it was a long time ago since I read this, and I was kind of hoping that I would get the same feeling that I got when I first saw the Lord of the Rings movies, which was that it had been long enough that I had forgotten certain things, but that the film seemed to match my hazy memories. Like, I'd forgotten about Tom Bombadil, which is good. For this, it's actually been too long. I had no recollection of anything going on in this. But once it did get going, it felt very stodgy and un-Spielbergian. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no menace at the beginning, it comes off as a kid's movie, I thought, very much. Like, the beginning is just a series of events happening. It's not like there's any charm or whimsy, despite what John Williams' soundtrack is trying to do. It seems like it's trying too hard, and things don't quite gel. Maybe it's the CGI, maybe it's like, because it's a lot of CGI with a real-life Sophie. Something about it just didn't sweep me up in it. And I really only got really taken by the film when it got to the third act.
I think I share that sentiment. Now, I went back and read the book after watching the film because, like you, it had been so long that I didn't remember anything about the book except for the fact that there was this big friendly giant and that he captured dreams. In the beginning of the book, I found it to be as slow as the film was. And nothing really happens in the book. And I think that was Spielberg's or the screenwriter's mistake, in that in situations like that, you want to add some drama to the beginning of the film, because in a book, you're more likely to plod along.
They're a bit too faithful, probably, yeah.
Far too faithful to the book. Mm. And for me, when there is a confrontation in the second act between the big friendly giant and his fellow brother monsters or giants, that's when it starts picking up for me. And then, of course, the third act in Buckingham Palace and everything that happens there is the real heart of the film.
That's delightful, and I think it's something where a less faithful adaptation could have done better.
The one thing I did like about the film was how it played out, because it didn't have your standard three-act Hollywood structure. And what I mean by that is the last act isn't some drawn-out, unnecessary battle. It's still full of whimsy. The idea is not how you defeat the monsters, but rather that road to convincing the queen that Sophie needs her help.
Yeah.
And that was delightful. It was hilarious. Every scene in Buckingham Palace with the BFG drinking tea.
Eggs on toast.
Well, every thousands time, of eggs on toast.
Everything that Rafe Spall does in those scenes is fantastic. I mean, once the characters flesh out a bit, because I think Mark Rylance is great, and I'm sure the motion capture is very well done, but it's just the CGI characters, I don't think, really sell it for me.
What was it about them? Because you're right. I thought the CG was all right.
Yeah.
But it still felt a little... Was it a lighting issue?
It might have been. The situations they put them in were very shiny, or they came off very shiny, which is like, it's a very off-putting thing for CGI because people don't normally shine that much unless they're sweaty or something like that. I think the compositing was weird as well. The certain scenes with Sophie where you can tell she's climbing around a green screen branch or something like that, and they've put in, like, there's nothing there, whereas they really needed to have an on-set Snozcumber for her to climb into.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Exactly. There was something about this movie that felt particularly British. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Because even the James Bond movies don't feel British anymore. They feel Hollywood. They feel the structure of the film, the action of the film feels more Bourne than Bond.
Having accidentally watched the reopening to the London Olympics, I think that's the style of, like, it's the Britain that they want to show the world. The kind of land of whimsy and high tea and cucumber sandwiches.
And not only that, the Bond
you saw. And farting corgis.
The Bond you saw at the beginning of the 2012 Olympics, that's the whimsical Bond.
Yes.
Who's like signaling to the corgis to come along.
Yeah.
We're taking the Queen on a helicopter. But yeah, this movie had that feel. I think Spielberg channeled the spirit of the book really well, the Englishness of the book, because Roald Dahl is the epitome of Englishness in his adventure stories. And you got it from his fiction as well as, well, his real life stories as well, Boy and Going Solo.
Yeah.
You had that sentiment throughout.
A lot has to be said for Penelope Wilton as the Queen, coming from Harriet Jones from Doctor Who.
That's right.
It's great to see her again. And just, she nails the Queen, kind of that kind of air, that grace that they have that they, when they like to portray the Queen. That she's just completely unruffled, deals with things very simply, and of course has her three corgis running around the whole time, which were fantastic.
As an adult, though, watching this movie, I found that I had to, not switch off my adult mind, but kind of put myself into kids' shoes, because unlike a Pixar film, for example, there's very little I feel for adults in this. It is really targeted towards the children. It's the same audience, I think, who would enjoy The Good Dinosaur.
Maybe. It's something as well with the, looking at the credits, it was John Williams' score, but the score is that kind of a little bit like the Harry Potter kind of main theme. You know, there's, whenever they're having the dream country where they're catching the dreams from, it's kind of, the music is accompanying the dreams flying around the place, and it's all very theatrical, but I found it grated a little bit, you know what I mean? And I think for kids might get swept up in that a little bit more, whereas I was just waiting for the something to happen. It was like, this isn't wowing me visually. They're going to sit here and catch dreams for a while, or, you know, Sophie running around chasing after dreams. That wasn't something I was swept up in. You know what I mean? It wasn't a scene that spoke to me as an adult, but I think kids might love it. I think that's kind of that thing. It's like, it's slow for adults, but kids might just get swept up in the actual visions on screen.
The one thing I also didn't quite get or didn't quite work for me was Sophie's need to have a family, because at the end of the film, it seems like that was something she was yearning for. Mm. Meanwhile, at the beginning of the film, she seemed to lead a very happy life with her books
in
the orphanage.
She's totally independent.
She's completely independent. In fact, she's looking after the orphanage for everyone else because everyone else seems incredibly incompetent in that house. She goes missing for days and no one notices.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right when you say that the beginning of the film starts off, or act one starts off, a little staid, because it's a lot of setup and there's not enough intensity or stress in that setup.
Even when the BFG picks Sophie up and takes her and he's running along the coast of England to get to Giant Country.
Which, can I say, that scene when he's running through the city and hiding from stuff.
When it's the big friendly ninja.
The big friendly ninja is 100% Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Like, that is this kind of stuff he does best.
Yeah.
And so, don't get me wrong. I mean, I am being critical about certain things about the film.
Yeah.
But there are these moments and scenes that Spielberg directs. Perfect.
Yeah.
So good.
But I'm thinking, when they're running, like, there's beautiful shots of the BFG running up the coast and hopping from outcrop to outcrop. And that looks great. But during that whole time, Sophie's just sitting in her blanket doing nothing. Like, story-wise, either she should be ranting or raving, or she should be unconscious and wake up and have the BFG be then just shown as hands and elbows and things like that. You kind of, there's no menace, there's no threat. So then you're kind of like thinking, why am I watching this? Like, I know it's the big friendly giant, but I think if it just being, like, more from Sophie's point of view and not reveal so much of his world so quickly and have a small element of fear, because some of the best children's stories have that. I mean, all the fairy tales have that element of fear in them. And then, you know, build into the reveal of the big friendly giant, it might have worked a little bit better for me.
Actually, you know what? You just hit it. There was no element of fear. I think that was the big thing that was lacking in this film. In that beginning, up till the point that you see the scary monsters or the scary giants, there isn't any sense that Sophie is in actual danger.
And you can kind of tell from the character as well, because she's just precocious and going through it, and it's not a little bit of danger there would have helped.
Yeah. So what are we saying? I mean, I think parents, take your children to watch this movie.
Yeah.
They're going to have a great time. But for you, for parents, you may have to switch off a little bit.
Someone fell asleep beside me in the press screening. In the middle section, which is admittedly a little slow.
All right, then. So it's definitely a kids' film.
Yeah.
Definitely worth watching for your young ones.
I think so. Maybe, and definitely a good gateway to getting them into reading more.
Oh, for sure. It made me go back and read the book. And after reading the BFG, I felt like I wanted to read Boy and Going Solo again. Mm. So there you go. So yeah, BFG is in cinemas right now. You can tweet us when you've seen it and tell us what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan. Ian is on
at McNasty Prime.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.